and welcome to the Postman Show 105.4 FM. And our one fantastic guest tonight is going to be Vinnie Eastwood. We're going to be talking about all sorts of things, but really what we're talking about is the concept of being free thinking. Again, something that I feel that doesn't always happen in our media. They like to present things in a certain way. They don't always necessarily go back to the facts beforehand. For example, in relation to the whole oil industry, we were told back in 1980s when a documentary appeared called the Opal Files that, oh no, there was no oil in New Zealand. That was all a conspiracy theory. Well, tell it to the Anadarko right now. And of course, they then turned around and changed the story. They said, oh no, we always knew that there was oil, but there wasn't enough technology and the price of the oil wasn't right. Well, the actual transfer was $14 a barrel in 1977, which when you do the currency exchange, what you could walk into a shop with $20 back in 1977, and now it finds that it was exactly the same. So again, they just like to misrepresent things a little bit. Vinny, how are you? Good evening, Vinny. Are you there? Vinny, are you there?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, yeah. I am.
Oh, I thought we were losing you. The men in black are coming and got you. Vinnie Eastwood, for those who don't know, runs a fantastic show on at the moment, seasons 10 to 12. Is that what you're running on, Vinnie?
No. It's midday till 2 p.m.
I'm still
five days a week. And that's live, by the way.
And it goes out
live
to,
on American Freedom Radio.
Goes out to 22 states in the U.S.?
Allegedly. I can't confirm or deny that. However, there are guaranteed stations in New Zealand playing the show, including Rush FM, which has stations in Taupo, Hamilton, Raglan, Auckland, and just recently opened up a transmitter in Mount Maunganui as well.
Awesome. Vinny,
that's on... That's Monday till Thursday nights at 9 o'clock in those areas there.
And what Vincent does is he brings different people onto a show, and they come from all sorts of walks of life, some from more what we would consider mainstream topics to some being a very extremely fringe, but he gives them an opportunity to present their arguments so that you can hear the facts and then walk away. And even if you don't necessarily agree with what they're saying, you're going to walk away educated, well, a little bit educated, and you're going to walk away with a lot of laughs because it's a very fun, fast-paced show. We had you on last week and we started talking all about all sorts of things. My biggest, I guess, thing I would like to maybe start off with today is the way in which media, our mainstream media, likes to get hold of fringe news stories and really misrepresent them so that they're manufacturing consent. I'm sure this is something you experience all the time.
Can you name me a single news story that didn't really misrepresent the facts and try to manufacture your consent?
Well, you know, weapons of mass destruction was definitely not one. We were told that there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and, of course, that proved not to be the case, but no one goes back and talks about it. So, of course, when we start talking about there being chemical weapons in Syria, the same papers that admit, the Washington Post, that they got it wrong, don't suddenly turn around and say, well, let's treat the story a little bit more carefully, do they?
Yeah. You know what? The media don't realise that it's a serious situation, and it's very Assad.
Ah, boom, boom. Are you there, Vinny? We seem to have lost you there. Okay, we might just turn around and bring him back on. We're going to be playing a few songs throughout the night, so while I'm playing around with that, we've got him on board.
I like that.
That wasn't one of our musical intros. How are you there, Vinny?
Yeah, sorry about that. I just accidentally hung up on myself. Oh,
I'm glad to see I'm not the only one who has technical dyslexia. Of course, you know, we were talking recently about...
Is that called textlexia?
Textlexia.
In which case, if you're textlexic, you can also get a job at Anadarko, which is based in Texas.
Indeed.
And as far as I know, Anadarko is the name of the sequel to Donnie Darko.
You're on a roll tonight, aren't you? We were talking last week about various issues. We ended up talking about HAARP, and I came on your show and I talked about HAARP. And for those who don't know, this is the High Atmospheric Research Project. Now, again, what happens is what always interests me about this one is that you can have an organisation like the European Union Parliament call this a climate weapon. You can have William Cohen, Secretary of United States Defence, say that this technology, which, you know, for use for manipulating the weather, causing an earthquake, is possible. Yet you never had the mainstream media ever actually having a proper debate or dialogue about those particular facts. Those are the things, when they cover these stories, they don't mention.
That's right, because they don't want a mass debate.
No,
they'd rather just be a bunch of cunning linguists.
Now, on that same note, I mean, the other aspect, you know, an example of this is that, you know, with this whole oil situation happening down there in Otago, we're the local newspaper. It's very conservative. They are known to run with what we like to call down here the Tartar Mafia. They've run several articles about the oil exploration down in Otago. Most of the articles are written by Simon Hartley, who, in fact, is someone I consider to be a very good journalist. But a typical example of a story that Simon does on this is you get 95% of the story running on government press releases from organisations like GNS that actually received $20 million funding from the petroleum industry. You get comments that come from directly from Anadarko's press office. Then they'll turn around and say there are environmental concerns, and there is not one environmentalist is actually spoken to. I mean, to me,
How about this? If you're a journalist, don't just report what people are saying is going on. How about you check your facts and report what is actually going on?
Well, wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, of course, you know, one of the things I have a problem with is, you know, when we were just walking out of the studio yesterday after doing a pre-record with Ricky, I looked up at the sky and there was a huge, huge, thick contrail that was rapidly expanding. And I pointed out to Ricky, and Ricky's, you know, he's a down-to-earth musician, and he turned around, oh, it's a contrail. I went, well, yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, I mean, not all things in the sky are chemtrails, but, you know, it was enough to catch my attention. Well, I opened up the newspaper, the Otago Daily Times, today, and that plane, and I use that word loosely, had taken up virtually the whole page in terms of it was a photograph of the contrails from top to bottom of the newspaper, two columns wide, explaining that this was a commercial airjet from Argentina. Couple of interesting things, however, was when I thought, okay, you know, first of all, why is a contrail newsworthy? Why does it deserve an entire, virtually half a page worth of photograph? I mean, surely the ODT have got better things to report on. So, you know, I thought this was an interesting little thing that would be a good little way to describe, you know, to start off with, well, you know, what's going on here? Well, when I went online to look for, what I actually discovered was the photograph that they put on the ODT is actually from a photograph that they took, not of yesterday's event, but on October the 3rd, and it turns out they've been regularly putting photographs of contrails in the newspapers. Like, what the... Are you there, Vincent?
What's the reason for it? That's what we're wondering.
Well, to me, the point is that, okay, this started off for me in 2010, 2010.
Can I, mm-hmm. May I postulate a theory here?
Good.
Mainstream media are infiltrated by the intelligence agencies, have been for a very long time, because intelligence agencies don't work for your country. They work for private corporations by the people who actually really run this world. So they infiltrate everybody who's capable of informing the public of everything that's going on, and they insert BS stories in there in order to submit subliminal messaging into people's minds to make them believe that every single chemtrail that they see is actually a contrail, and everybody who says it's a chemtrail is a conspiracy theorist.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, when I started looking back at this regular habit of, you know, photographing just normal airline, you know, saying that these are just normal airlines, move line, nothing to see, you know, a couple of the photographs that put up there were by journalists that I actually know. Dunedin's not that big. I don't think they work for the intelligence agencies, but I do think they get just told what to write a story about and they post it up and go and have a beer. They don't really put any second thought to it.
But who's telling them?
Well,
that is the thing. We've got to figure out who these editors are, what their connections are, because I'm reading Ian Wishart's latest book right now. He sent me an e-book version of it. Mining and infiltration of IT companies in order to basically finance the best and brightest ideas for their data mining activities. Then, of course, you look at Walter Cronkite in the 1970s, who came out and said that he was working for the CIA under Operation Mockingbird, where the CIA was recruiting the most credible journalists in America in order to put out disinformation stories. It's also come out in mainstream media that the Department of Defense actually has producers sitting in the studios of the news calling the shots and telling them what they want to actually have put on the TV screens in front of Americans. Now, this is what's happening in America, but If you see smoke, you see fire. You can be sure that fire is near enough. And it occurs to me that virtually all media is influenced by the same central type of intelligence agencies and corporate scumbaggery. You know, I mean, look at Fairfax Media. And isn't that a lovely thing that's really taken over the New Zealand media? It also took over Australia's media as well, particularly when people were speaking out against the mining and what have you. Some big mining magnate came and bought up all the newspapers as well. Control of the media is really, really important.
It's called manufacturing consent. And, you know, what you're saying about the intelligence agencies, well, Dan Rather, who from 60 Minutes, you know, he acknowledged this was the situation. You had Bob Woodward and the Watergate team. You know, one of those guys previously worked for Naval Intelligence. You have the fact that if you work for the BBC, you actually have to be vetted by MI6. And again, John Pilcher raises this link between media and intelligence quite a lot. It's just interesting because, you know, when the ODT originally ran a story on the whole chemtrail/contrail issue, they turned around and they did the same thing, nothing to see move along. However, it turned out when they did that back then, the craft that they were showing in the paper was, in fact, military as witnesses first reported, because this is something that the ODT themselves had to admit when they did the story when it checked. The contrail in question was picked up on infrared imagery, which is not something you normally associate with contrails because it's just water. The contrail was also on the same juice noted to stop as if someone had switched the switch, just as after it passed water, which actually is, in fact, in contradiction of what you expect of thermodynamics in terms of what happens with temperature and wind. And the photo that the ODT was sent in by witnesses showed the sudden impact from South Canterbury to Southland it had on the weather within minutes. And what's interesting there is that when I went back to the photograph that was actually shown in today's newspaper, which actually, in fact, is one taken on October 23rd, in the comment section, which oddly enough has actually disappeared from my Facebook section, but I'll bring it up and put it up there later on, you see the exact thing happening was that you see the contrail, normal little pencil line that you expect from an aeroplane. Within a very short time, this was creating a large blanking area. These are the facts that, without saying this was a contrail or chemtrail, were not put in the story. They were stories that the editorial would have known. They were significant to people understanding what was going on. And that's my point. It's not whether this is chemtrails. It's the half-telling of the facts. And another issue which happens with ODT is that when they ran this story on contrails previously, the story was dominated on the comments section by people that were very scathing of the chemtrail argument. But here's the interesting thing. You could tell from the way that they were writing the remarks that they had been replying to someone else's comments, but all the pro-chemtrail arguments had actually dropped off the ODT's own comment line. All the things together,
deleted.
So to me, this is not a fair debate in which both sides of the facts are presented to the people so that people can judge for themselves. This is manufacturing
consent.
You know
why that is, Ben? Yeah, well, the reason why it doesn't look like a fair debate is because it's not, okay? We're the alternative media. Now, do you know who the most subscribed YouTube news channel is, you know, out of TV3, TVNZ, New Zealand Herald TV, and so on and so forth in terms of YouTube channels, mainstream media in New Zealand?
Well, it would
be you.
Know you.
Who's got the most?
It would be you, Vinny.
Yeah.
And
guess how much budget I've got?
Probably frickin' 1% of this.
Not even close.
They're just inept. Okay, I've got 10,000, going on 11,000 subscribers now on YouTube. And you have a look at the New Zealand Herald, they've got around about the $4,000-$6,000 mark now. $6,000 subscriber mark, sorry. Now, we're winning the war online, okay, because when people have options, see, that's the thing. We don't have a massive publication that we're putting out there. People don't really have the option to see it on the shelves in pride of place with those big yellow tins or whatever the heck that they've got the New Zealand Herald in now. We don't have all of those resources. What we do have is something a hell of a lot more appealing than just mere availability. We've got truth, got facts, evidence, details, documents, postulations, theories, verification, things that actually matter and are supposed to be part of a journalist's craft. Now, I've never had any actual qualification in journalism whatsoever, but the way that I was reporting stories, somebody showed me the journalistic principles. There's a big list of them or whatever a year or so ago after I'd been doing 5 years of journalism, and it turned out that I'd been applying every single one of those journalistic principles by mere instinct. You know why? Because I'm an honest person who can think for himself. What does that say about the people working currently for mainstream media?
Well, you know, as I said, Vinny, I mean, I'm loathe to believe in well, put it this way. I believe that most people who work for mainstream organisations, they have mortgages, they have kids, they have responsibility, they want to get promoted. So when they go to write a story, and this is something that, you know, a lot of journalists will turn around and tell me, and the reality is I'm always quite amazed at what media circles I can walk into, and they hold me in reasonably good esteem, basically in the fact the same, you know, typos will stand and you do the things that we want to do. We can't do the stories that you do because we wouldn't get promoted. In fact, we'd be indirectly shown the door.
Tell that to Ian Wishart, who had attempts on his life. Tell that to him after he had silicon pumped into his brakes when he started to report about banking scams going on in New Zealand. Tell that to him when he made the decision, you know what, if I go public with the story, I'm never going to get really another job in mainstream journalism. My career will be more or less over. And I now have to become an independent magazine publisher and author in order to make ends meet.
You don't have to tell me that.
You
don't have to tell me that.
You know why? Because he's not.
You don't have to tell me that, because the reality is I know that directly, because when I published my book in 1999, we had a section on there relating to a very large New Zealand business person and their links to a Tongan cocaine trafficker. We turned around the day before the book came out, and it was actually, my book was published by English. We've gone different directions, but at that time, We had the lawyer of this businessman coming up to us to say, oh, here, we're in the book. Well, you better be ready to have a face a lawsuit. And Ian, one of his better moments, said, great, we need all the publicity we need. Well, that night, we actually received a death threat saying that if the name of the cocaine trafficker, which was his name was Thomas Weiner, was in the book, then we could all expect to be basically chopped up and sent back in the mail. Now, what's interesting, at that time, there were only three people that were party to the fact that Thomas Weiner was in that book. One was me, one was Ian Wishart, and the third one was the businessman in question, because we'd send him a fax asking questions directly. So, you know, you don't have to tell me what the reality is when it comes to dealing with difficult stories, you know.
My point is, you have to be willing to spread your wings and fly free without the protection and comfort of that gilded cage. Otherwise, you are nothing more than a pampered slave.
And I think you're actually correct. And unfortunately, that's probably true of a lot of professions. And, you know, I mean, I've experienced this myself when I worked in territorial intelligence, was what I actually found, all the people that I met that worked in intelligence, that were diligent, that were there for the right reasons, they were actually pushed out largely by people that were there because they just wanted to further their careers. It's an anomaly, you know, whether it's media, intelligence, government bureaucracies, it's very hard to do things ethically when you're up against an environment which basically rewards those who are out for themselves and punishes those who are actually out to be patriots.
Yeah, it's the opposite of karma is the reality, in my opinion. If you're a good person who does the right thing, bad things will happen to you. If you're a bad person who screws over absolutely everybody, you will get rewarded, and you will wind up rewarding yourself for screwing over everybody and destroying everything that actually good people and decent, honest workers and what have you actually value. If you've got three person vying for the position of a CEO for a major corporation, and one of them is a psychopath who is willing to sabotage and tell lies about the other two contestants so that it propels him forward, do you think any moral conscience would hold him back from being so dishonest?
No, it's the nature of social. Hence,
he gets promoted and the good people wind up leaving or quitting. Now, it's the same thing with the New Zealand police. If you should interview Grace Hayden if you ever get a chance, 15-year prosecuting sergeant for the New Zealand police.
What I'm going to do, Vinny, unfortunately, we're going to take a little bit of a song break. In fact, Ricky, you...
Can I just deliver one quote?
Yes, you can.
Yes.
Very quick. All right, she told me that the New Zealand police are so corrupt, you will either become corrupted or leave. And I left.
Peter Williams from Stone on Duty would say exactly the same thing. Ricky, do you want to do Occupy Now, or do you want maybe a little bit later?
I'll have to show you what to do with the buttons before I play.
Okay, well, in that case, what we'll do is we're going to do Catharticus, then we're going to come back
We're going for pretty.
No, I want to do Catharticus Happy Place, because I think Catharticus Happy Place. And then we're going to turn around. I want to talk to you a little bit more about this whole geoengineering situation, which is a story which should be a mainstream story, but just really we are not getting anywhere near the full facts. And then we will probably occupy, and it'll be almost time for us to do one last rant and go home. So on that note,
we're still here for a while.
Happy place.
Do just as they say. Not ripped off by GST or jolted by the ACC. Fast forward penalties and a pacified society. Take aid, or happy please. Take me to a happy place where workers get a decent pay. Vultures don't take it all away, burdened down by user pays. We're not up to take a pill, just to look at my power bill. Rather on a treadmill, just to line the corporate till. Take me, or happy please. Take me. Goes on when we legislate. We Kiwi ingenuity ain't hamstrung by bureaucracy. Good jobs are cast aside in the name of false economy. Take mine, or happy please. Take mine, or happy please.
Please. Anya Clinkett Lawyers are committed to providing all their clients with professional and cost-effective legal services. Their small team of approachable, discreet advisors are able to respond quickly to your needs, offering strong advocacy and guidance during difficult times. From conveyancing to family and employment dispute resolution, civil litigation, court representation or out-of-court advocacy, Anya Clinkett Lawyers collaborate with you to achieve the results you're looking for. Call today on 477-267 to find out how Anya Clinkett Lawyers can help you.
You're on ORFM 105.4 FM, and once again, a big thank you to Anya Clinkett, who has been my long-term supporter. You know, it's quite interesting, you know, just that term, collaborate. You know, isn't it funny? Lawyers collaborate, and it's not a conspiracy, but of course, I don't know if you want to just get me started. Vinny, how are you doing there? Vinny, are you there?
Somewhat fabulous is my standard response.
Awesome. Well, you were just listening to Happy Place by Catharticus that just came out on their new album, Metro Angel. One of my friends who regularly comes down here to the different social causes that normally people like Viv Adams, Michelle Halliwell, and Karen Tass are kind of key leaders in doing the bit to make people aware of what's going on. So a big thank you to all of those people out there. And thank you to Michael Wingfield, Craig White, and Greg Torreson for their fantastic Happy Place. I want to talk to you a little bit about, geoengineering. But before I get carried away, I invited you on the show. So is there anything about the media that you would like to share with us, Vinny?
Yeah, I think people should be starting to do their own. There's an old saying, which I didn't even know about until a couple of days ago, is this: don't complain about the media, become the media. My saying that I came up was when the media won't do their job, don't complain about them, do their job for them, because they're no longer relevant. Yeah, that's basically my philosophy. And it's not that hard, actually, to do it for yourself. Usually you just need the basic tools. Something that can capture audio is a good start. And a computer, that would be really all you need, is a microphone and a computer and a capacity to digitize whatever audio you've got. That's enough to start a radio blog easily. There are many things on online that you can go to, like Blog Talk Radio and so on and so forth, where if you want to become a talk radio show host, if you want to start reporting the news, it's not that difficult. You can start it immediately. Zero preparation, and just learn as you go. That's exactly how I did it.
Hey presto,
I'm the first New Zealander in history to have an American talk radio show, okay? Because I know more about America than Americans do, which is a sad indictment on Americans.
Well, don't get me started.
The other thing is, it's just like, because we've got accents to them, they love it, you know? A lot of the, I think about maybe 45% of my listenership thereabouts are female, and I get many, many comments saying, oh, your accent's so sexy. You know, if you're a New Zealander and you can talk three... That depends whether or not you can be bothered, because I used to have a co-host, and there's another piece of advice for anybody who wants to start your own media campaign or company or whatever.
You be careful. I'm sitting here.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ricky's going to point a gun at me. Be very... I hear the word pay rise coming up. Carry on, Vicky.
Yeah. I was going to say, don't ask anybody for help. No, seriously, think about it now. If you ask somebody for help and then they don't do anything, it demotivates you, makes you miserable. And what do you accomplish? Nothing. Because you think you need everybody else in order to help you, in order to get anything done.
Well,
the reality is, if you do things by yourself, then people start showing up out of the woodwork regardless, because they see that you don't need any help and they decide to help you anyway. It's a real ironic freaking world we live in, isn't it?
It's extremely ironic. Look, I just want to get back to the subject.
It's synchronistic.
I want to get back to the subject of geoengineering, because, again, this is not an issue about whether you believe in chemtrails or not. That's not the point that I'm discussing here. To me, it is how things are covered. Now, we were told for years, whenever someone suggested chemtrails, there would be particular people. Ros Marsden from affiliated with NIWA would be one that would jump on the sites and say, there isn't the technology to cause the weather. You change the weather. Well, you know, you look around today and you look at the Chinese Olympics with the technology they use there to control the weather. You look at all of the farmers in Europe that use rockets to control the weather. You look at the United Kingdom's parliamentary report on the need for regulation of geoengineering. You look at the Royal Symposium in England and New Zealand. These are all examples that show you that this technology exists, but you never read any of this in the mainstream media.
Because they've got this idea in their head that because it doesn't make sense to them and they haven't done any study on it, therefore it doesn't frickin' exist, all right? The reality is that most things that you wouldn't understand and wouldn't even dream of probably already exist in a movie somewhere, you know? The world's a real crazy, messed up place. And what I find really funny is the people that think that they've made sense of the word and figured it all out. I don't think that anybody's got the entire world figured out. Somebody told me on Facebook the other day that by the time you're 40, you'll have figured it out. And I go, no, I doubt that very much. I bet I'll probably make it and be pushing 80 before I even start to even conceive that I might be starting to figure it out, and probably not even then.
And you're correct.
All right.
And again,
now,
on this
what
issue,
they do is they make these blanket statements to say there is no evidence. Now, if I come out and make a blanket statement about any topic to say that there is no evidence, what I'm really saying is, out of all things that exist in this entire planet, all knowledge in books, on the internet, in video format, have been ingested by me via osmosis through the airwaves. And be it in the mind of a scientist on a page on the web, I am the sole arbiter of all information that exists on this topic, and I alone am the one who can categorically state that it does not exist. Which of us is more freaking insane? The person who cites thousands upon thousands of sources that prove the existence of persistent chemtrails and weather anomalies and weapons and so on and so forth, or the person who makes such a ridiculous statement as to say there is no evidence because I haven't looked at it?
Well, to me, it even goes a little step further in the sense of, you know, I'll turn around and I'll cover the subject, and I won't say that chemtrails do exist because, you know, the investigation is ongoing. But what I will say is, you know, not that long ago, we were told that, oh, no, you cannot change the weather, that there is no attempt to manipulate the weather by spraying stuff into the air. Well, 2 years ago, the Royal Society in New Zealand turned around and had a big expose on geoengineering, which is the subject of changing the weather. They talked about the use of stratospheric aerosol, which is, i.e., spraying heavy metal subjects into the atmosphere to change the weather. You didn't suddenly turn around and have people saying, well, wait a minute, they were right about that. Maybe we should start listening to some of the other points and seeing that. That's the point. There is never a callback. It goes back to the case of, oh, actually, you got this right. Maybe we start to treat what you're doing with a bit of balance and just a little bit of subjective and objectivity. No, it's we're right, you're wrong, and we're going to forget every time that we're wrong.
Okay. And that is called frickin' insanity, okay? Denying reality. Ayn Rand, back in the 50s, came up with a very, very incredible saying I'll never forget. You can ignore reality, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring reality. If you go to Mount Shasta in California, where they have 30,000 parts per million in the meltwater off of that mountain of aluminium, and you tell me how that got there, if not from aluminium being sprayed by aircrafts to the top of a mountain that nobody skis on, nobody tramps on, and is permanent ice the entire year. Explain to me how that happens.
I'll take it a step further, because they've done various, Angie B, I think, who, if she's out there listening, they've gone out there and they've done independent testing of the atmosphere and waters in Nelson where there is a large chemtrail presence, and I'll go into that map possibly later on, but the key point is, they identified in reasonably significant quantities the substance barium. Now, barium is a refractive material used for holograms. There is no reason why it should naturally be in New Zealand's atmosphere. We don't. There isn't a barium factory in Nelson. There isn't used for any industry in Nelson. That is a clear and present anomaly, yet try and find a New Zealand media source that will even discuss that or even take that up to an independent source for a balanced viewpoint. Now, same situation. When you talk about the subject of geo-warfare or the concepts of the atmosphere being used to actually cause seismic activity, it's really interesting because every time the mainstream media will rush off and they'll talk to a geologist who is neither a weapons expert or an atmospheric scientist, and they go, oh, no, can't do that. But if you go to NASA, just the website of NASA, or you go to NOAA, you'll find that there are models which are based on this correlation between what's happened to the electromagnetic field and tectonic activity. Yet you don't get presented with that fact. You know, you're only shown the experts very selectively.
Yeah, and it's not just so much just selectively. Now, what I do on my show is very different to what a lot of shows do. I don't vet my guests. It's simply 2 hours, luck of the draw. You know, it's like interview roulette to a large degree. A guest or a listener will suggest somebody for me to interview. They pop in the seat. I give them a nice, fun atmosphere for which to express their views. And I wind up through the course of 2 hours being somewhat more enlightened by a person who I've never met, never heard of, who's giving me research directly from their mouth and 10 years or 20 years or however many decades of research that I now have access to. That is what I can accomplish per day with only 2 hours my credit. Now,
the problem with mainstream media is that
if you're going to be researching an article and doing immense amounts of work, that actually requires interviewing often a lot of different people from different specialist fields, getting second opinions, so on and so forth. It's a lot of work. And in so doing, it's actually relatively an expensive process if you are wanting to drive around in the company car, going to pay for parking and fuel and so on and so forth, whereas myself, it's much more easy in the digital medium to verify sources just by having a talk with the source on Skype or something of that nature. Now, this is the thing that's missing from mainstream media, is this very wide perspective. And I think this is the reason why their numbers and audience is relatively dwindling, is because people don't have a thirst for lies, but they do have a thirst for the truth. But as Mark Twain said, it's far easier to convince somebody of a lie than it is to convince them that they've been lied to.
Exactly. And then the reality is, going back to the whole issue of the comment section on the newspapers, that it's interesting. You know, originally, newspapers around the world were happy to have these comment sections on their mainstream blogs. What's actually happening is, a trend is occurring, however, is that what's now happening is that those newspapers are killing off the comment section because too many people come along with a dialogue that runs in direct challenge of the narrative, and they go, hey, wait a minute, we can't control the story anymore. So
yes, you know, it happened on Nandor Tanchos and Russell Norman's posts about climate change just recently. Myself and a few other mates, I didn't ask them to come in and join the conversation or anything like that. They just saw the arguments that I was posting, and it turned out that we wound up taking over the feed, right? Because all of these other people who are in there denying that carbon taxes aren't a good idea, denying this, denying that, only have a very short amount of things to say, which was a testament to how much information they've actually ingested on the topic. Whereas all of us were putting on these diatribes, links to articles, analyses, so on and so forth, to the point where the person who starts the thread winds up shutting it down because they don't like people actually hijacking their threads to talk about things which they don't want to research and will not even entertain for a moment. Well, this is how the war of media can be won with social media, I think. It's really changed the playing field because it allows that sort of hijacking to continue. Kind of like on 9/11, but yeah.
But you know, it's interesting what you have to say about in relation to the position on climate change or global warming. Now, My history was that I come from ski industry, and there's no way in the hell that you'll convince me that that climate change isn't occurring. The cause is a matter of subject to debate, but you know, for years in the 1980s, I was sort of like, hey guys, something's going on here. Now all the people that are now insisting that you're a lunatic if you don't believe in global warming said, no, you're a loony if you believe in that the climate's changing. So the only thing that changed was the funding and the politics of the day.
Now, name me another single environmental issue that has as much plug, play, and media attention as climate change?
Well,
nothing comes to mind.
Well, the war on terrorism, actual fact, but the reality is...
Not an environmental argument,
there is a reality too, because there is this assumption or this heresy that if you turn around and question what's actually happening in relation to the carbon or the politics that surrounds climate change, and I'm not talking about the issue of climate change, but the politics of climate change, you are deemed a heretic. Now, the reality is, I'm not saying that I necessarily denounce global warming. I accept climate change. I do not necessarily denounce global warming, but I do not think that the current Kyoto protocols and the carbon tax are going to save so much as one single polar bear. And I think the current approaches are not only extremely dangerous, but when you do your research, you find out that most of it was instigated by the coal and the oil industry.
Mm-hmm. That there's a big range of subject matters that people can go into on climate change. And my conclusion, based upon looking as much evidence as I can, is that man is a factor in the changing of the climate. However, what I find is interesting, not only is the climate changing in part because of man, but man is trying to tax himself out of existence in order to save the climate from him. So this is my conclusion. How about this? How about instead of taxing what we exhale that plants need to breathe, how about we start focusing on cleaning up those things that are even more dangerous, such as radioactive contamination? What about parabens that are in all of our armpit deodorants that have been linked to breast cancer? What about the 1 in 2 cancer rate in New Zealand? What about the ever-dropping fertility rate due to poisons and contamination in the food supply? What about the proliferation of genetically modified organisms across the entire world that are taking over all of the natural crops? And what about the big agribusiness that are taking over all the heirloom seeds? What about all the DDT and Agent Orange and other Monsanto-related products that are being carried by trade winds nestling themselves up in the Arctic? What about that? Nobody's talking about that. Nobody's talking about the BPA containing plastic that lines every single bit of canned food and everybody's drinking bottles and goodness knows what else.
Going back to this whole geoengineering situation... Back to this whole geoengineering situation, like you have the situation where we know for a fact that the biggest carbon sequester, and this is what the deal is, to deal with global warming, we carbon sequester. Well, the biggest carbon sequester on the planet is hemp. We know that for a fact, and we'll do it without any side effects. Yet the Greens are amazingly silent on this issue, yet they'll support a tax which will allow them to do artificial carbon sequestering, which will result in heavy metals and sulfur dioxide, a byproduct of the coal industry, being sprayed with huge environmental impact. It's amazing, you know.
It's the man who swallowed the fly, swallowed the spider in order to catch the fly, or is it the woman or whatever? You know, it's the same freaking thing, isn't it? I mean, it's like, oh my God, there's a fly on my knee. Where's a hammer? You wind up kneecapping yourself.
Well, look, I'd like to carry on talking about the whole issue of the politics of carbon tax and geoengineering and how the coal industry are making a great buck out of it. But in the meantime, I thought I might play you a little song by Ricky Lynn called Occupy. Hopefully this works.
Occupy. did I cry to the river?
That was Ricky Lynn's Occupy. That's the first time that has ever been played on radio. Thank you, Ricky. That's, again, Viv Adams is who I've had on the show. We interviewed about GILF power. This is the role of nannies and activists and what, you know, nannies have got the most to stand because they actually give a damn about their grandchildren. And she's done a lot of calls and she regularly holds sessions in the Octagon and she's brought in musicians are there to... You know, people talk for a long, long time, people get bored. You bring in a musician, people relate to that, then they start listening, and then you see people all around the cafes going, hey, that music's pretty good. Hey, what are those people actually talking about? It's about a concept which we'll be having on with the Wizard later on about the fun revolution. Vinny, are you there? We'll just say 1 second.
With art, creativity, anything that I don't know, really enhances our way of thinking about the world is vastly important in this society, okay? And I think that creativity levels are just kind of dropping sharply, you know, like off a freaking cliff as everybody is plugged into all of this television and what have you. Their thinking process is being corrupted, man, is my opinion. I could be wrong. Maybe TV's good for you. Maybe sitting on your ass eight hours a day and being programmed with whatever mainstream media wants you in a beta wave state is a good thing. I don't know. What was it? You know, apparently that's the way television was designed is to subliminally influence people. You flash a certain number of frames per second in front of your iris, and if it goes too many refreshes per second in terms of the flicker rate on your television as opposed to frames per second on the film, your brain can't actually consciously access that information in your beta wave state, which is your analytical mind, you know, your thinking processes, your deductive reasoning part of your brain. And it slips into sort of alpha, which is a very, very low down sort of semi-conscious dream state. It's sort of how you feel when you're just coming out of a deep sleep sort of thing.
I hear
and your brain's really not working. And it allows like a whole bunch of little messages and symbols and ideas and everything to be implanted in your brain while you're not actively aware and processing the information that you're seeing. It puts you into a suggestible mind control type of state. And I think that what's happening now is people don't realize, and the CIA figured this out as well, mind control is addictive.
Well, this is, you know, I mean, when you turn around and talk about mind control too, because, you know, people turn around and they deal with sort of things like the Manchurian Candidate and so on, but the reality is mind control surrounds us every day. You go done by advertising. That is designed to modify your behavior. Certain colors are used so that you'll respond towards them. You know, human beings have this weird little delusion that somehow they can't be hypnotized. Everyone else is planning to be hypnotized, but we can't. Yet it happens. This manipulation surrounds us all the time. And I go back to this whole point of music, is that I look at the music scene that we had in the 70s, or in fact, 70s, 80s, and 80s, and even the early 90s. It seemed to me that a lot of our music was quite socially orientated and, you know, was part of the whole process of making people think about the bigger pictures or thinking things a little bit outside the circle. Yet today, the music we have today is incredibly, you know...
Well, there's so many genres. In fact, I had a conversation like this with a couple of my older friends who were around about the 45, 50 mark. And we talked about how they were lamenting that there used to be songs where everybody knew the words and people would sing them in the stores or whatever, and maybe dance around a little bit. And I said, well, today what's happened is we've split it into so many subgenres of music that if you have a particular flavor, you can go to a particular crowd. Then, and the realization hit me, music used to be used
as a unifier
to bring people together, and now it's being used to drive us all apart.
Actually, that's a very good point. And it's, you know, it's a little bit again like, you know, social media is quite a good tool, but at the same time, there is a habit that on social media you tend to attract people on your network that are going to say what you want to hear and reflect. So you end up speaking into this bubble and not knowing what's happening in the other bubbles.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel this is a great innovation or a great way to actually think about the world is just how many varying distractions there are to prevent you from actually participating
exactly,
in the world.
You know, all the time and spread in circuses. But, you know, you're going back to the whole situation. You know, you look at we have a politics, you know, and we have Labour on one side, we have National on the other side, and we have the Greens on the other side. And we all think that we're voting for different teams. But yearly, when you really look at the front seats that sit on those political parties, they all tend to be people that have been educated overseas and overseas universities, that got there funded by fairly right-wing organisations, and most of the agendas they're pursuing are not actually in the interest of national sovereignty, they're actually in the interest of internationalists. Yet we all think that we're choosing different sides and they've got different politics, when really it's all part of the same...
Well, can I ask you... Let's lay a little analogy on you. Okay, let's say you've got Richie McCaw and Tana Umanga. You'd know them as All Blacks, right? Okay,
really?
Now, national.
That's sport with oval ball, right?
Allegedly, and let's say Tana Umanga is Labour, and Richie McCaw is National. Richie McCaw passes the ball to Labour. Has the team changed?
No. Not really at all.
They're still going against you. Well, guess who's on the opposing team of all of these alleged All Blacks? You are. Your sovereignty, your liberties, your money.
Well, that's it. You know, we have patriotism, which turns around and says, see, go out and support the All Blacks. Go and support Team Emirates. And so, well, wait a minute.
That's not patriotism.
Well,
okay.
It's not. You're wearing jerseys that say made in China. You know,
Thomas Jefferson once said that it is a patriot's duty to protect his country from his government.
Hmm. Yeah, and now that actually that stance is quite interesting too, because, you know, this is my other point too, is that, you know, it doesn't necessarily matter whether you believe in chemtrails, HAARP, engineering or whatever, you should have the right to have an alternative viewpoint. But now what's actually, if you look at what's happening in the media now, is that the enemy is no longer Al-Qaeda or terrorism or communism. It's actually people that challenge the government. They are increasingly being the ones that are identified as, these are the ones that we're going after.
Well, they're often not even identified. I mean, look at the GCSB spying on 88 people. How many people went to jail for illegally spying on those 88 New Zealand activists? You know, and here's
well,
the thing.
No one. In fact, the person that oversaw the procedure got a promotion.
Yeah. I mean, the whole axiom of if you've got nothing to hide, you've got nothing to fear is absolute bullshit. Absolute bullshit. Here's the thing. Ben. Don't answer this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How many times a day do you masturbate? Okay? See, there's a level of privacy that people expect in their daily life.
I'm pretty sure that's a PSA complaint coming our way. Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. The point of the matter is you actually...
But people seem to think that government, which in the 20th century, according to statistics, are the world's leading cause of preventable death. You're more likely to be killed by your own government in the 20th century, statistically speaking.
I think I saw something on your board today.
All of the factors virtually combined.
Was it on your site today that said something along the lines of four times the amount of people being killed in America since 9/11 than by terrorists by the police? Was that on your site?
I would probably say that's... I don't know
it
that
sounds like
at
something
all. It's probably not... It sounds like something I can vibe with, though. I did see another thing that said that New Zealand has had 1,430-something deaths caused by police action, and not a single police officer has ever been charged with murder or manslaughter or even so much as lost their job over it virtually.
Well, I mean, that's another example, because, you know, you look at the way the media presents, you know, the turnaround of police complaint occurs and they go into individual cases. No one ever points out the glowing elephant in the room, which is, If we actually had a genuine independent police complaints authority overseen by a genuinely independent body...
We'd have an independent complaints authority, wouldn't we?
But that's, you mean, just like the rest of the Western world, because we don't have that. And that's the one thing, I mean, this. How many times do you have to see police dogs set on innocent people, people being shot, rape complaints? You know, it goes on and on and on. And yet, nothing, if the system never changes itself. There is no accountability to the system. It is actually protected by layer upon layer upon layer of legislation, which is nothing for the individual human, individual citizens, but does a very, very good job of protecting the status quo.
That's precisely correct. The police are not there to help you, ladies and gentlemen. If they were there to help you, they wouldn't be trained to lie in order to convict you of crimes, okay? Police are trained to lie. Even in Australia, one of my friends, Gavin, he came over here and he was going to stay in the airport and try and sleep there for about 10 hours in between flights. And I said, bugger that, mate. I've got a perfectly good couch at home. You can come and crash here. I'll pick you up from the airport. And he once tried to become employed by the Australian Federal Police, and he was rejected because his IQ test was too high.
I actually have a friend of mine that approached by the Australian Security Intelligence Service, and they actually did the same thing. They turned around and said, I'm sorry, but you're too smart to work for the intelligence service. You're too intelligent to be working for an intelligence agency. But look, another issue which I want to get into, and what I want to do is talk a little bit, and then we'll start it, and then we'll get into playing our last song for the evening. But, you know, one of the things I'm very interested in, again, is that the way that we're conditioned in the media is that we've always got to have good guys and we've always got to have bad guys. And, you know, when I look at the current geopolitical situation of, the world, but specifically the South Pacific, you know, we're geared up for a situation of China versus America. And some of these things, the examples are quite good examples. There does seem to be some genuinely serious competition. But time and time again, I look at it and go, wait a minute. At the same time, we're training with the Chinese. The Americans are training with the Chinese. The transatlantic, trans-American highway is basically all using Chinese technology. 20% of the American defense, you know, I go, this model doesn't quite work. You know, what's your take on this, Vinny? I mean, you know, I can see there genuinely being a genuine conflict, but I don't believe it's really because, one, I think this state versus state model is outdated.
Yeah, states no longer exist. It's all corporations. Have you ever seen the movie 1979, Network? It says, what do you think the Russians are doing in the morning? They're looking at their projected profit portfolios just like we are. There is no China. There is no United States. There is no Russia. There is only AT&T and Union Carbide.
Well, exactly.
We are ruled by corporations. They own everything. Okay? There was a study that came out of Switzerland that proved that it traced back something like 70% of the world's wealth back to like only a dozen or so corporations that own everything, which are owned by an even smaller number of shareholders, well, you know, in the majority stake.
Obviously, you know, the alleged 1% of resources that own 99% of the world's resources, which has been, you know, in the last 10, 15 years, has been ever shrinking percentage at a very rapid rate. But of that 1%, less than 200 individuals are said to own 40% of that pie. And it's, you know, it's just quite staggering, the amount of resources in the hands of a very few people. And when I learned...
Those are the ones with open books.
Exactly.
Books, as opposed to closed family trusts and things of that nature, which you're not allowed to look into. The reality is, and there was a good story in the mainstream media today, Goldman Sachs was fined $14 billion for misleading people over the 2008 financial crash, which was caused by their mortgage-backed securities that they were selling. But do you know how much debt was created because of that mortgage-backed security scam which they participated in? Quadrillions!
It's always the wet on the slap board. And, you know, and again, you know, when I look at all these situations, you know, whatever it's, you know, war and terrorism, whatever, it always boils down to basically the control of resources. And, of course, when you control the war and terrorism, you get huge amounts of money that then go into the military-industrial complex to buy weapons, which, I mean, you know, it's the state of the city of Detroit is just been declared bankrupt to a figure of about $1 trillion. I can't remember the exact figures, but the point being is, while the state of Detroit has 75% of the ambulances aren't going because they can't afford them, and you can imagine how many people are dying as a result of that, they spent more than $34 billion last year, Homeland Defense Security, on arming local police with weapons. If they'd spend that money on feeding people. You know, how many, you know, it doesn't figure. You know, and on that note, I thought we might just turn around and play one last song tonight, and then we'll finish off with a quick dialogue with you. And we're going to play Matthew Robinson's album, and it's Scorched Earth, which trails it all. It's all about the money, folks.
Have you heard the cry of this scorched earth, turning sand to glass? One big blast, you handed him the guns, helped to load them up. Who pulled the trigger first? Gonna blow him.
Clinkett Lawyers are committed to providing all their clients with professional and cost-effective legal services. Their small team of approachable, discreet advisors are able to respond quickly to your needs, offering strong advocacy and guidance during difficult times. From conveyancing to family and employment dispute resolution, civil litigation, court representation, or out-of-court advocacy, Anya Clinkett Lawyers collaborate with you to achieve the results you're looking for. Call today on 477 267 to find out how Anya Clinkett Lawyers can help you.
You're on the Postman Show, 105.4 FM, with Ricky Lund and Ben Vigen, and our guest tonight, Vinny Eastwood, the man that will tell you all the things that you already know. Hey, Vinny, how are you doing?
As I say, somewhat fabulous. Standard response.
Standard response.
I do think... Yeah. It's a good little thing I came up with when I was doing telesales, actually. In fact, back then, it's gone through a little bit of an evolution. I used to say that I'm borderlining on fabulous. It's a standard response. But I think it's actually even more amusing. Yeah. In fact, I taught an autistic boy to describe the weather one time. He was just having very, very trouble talking. And when you're dealing with autistic people, you know, a lot of repetition needs to be going. So whenever it's raining, I go, how's the weather out of Sharm? And he goes, it's somewhat moist.
Somewhat moist. I like that. Yeah, it actually sounds like he's got a good career in the weather, because I sometimes think that what they have on the weather is like, you know, they might as well just stick their heads out the window, you know, it's like...
Well, see, for me, I always wanted to pioneer the very first exclusive Scottish weather report. I am the weather in Edinburgh. It's shite.
And that was the weather, brought it. Look, we've got
we've got about
7 minutes left. We've covered a whole wide variety of subjects tonight. And again, the point being is that we're not listening to anyone out there to say you must go and believe these fringe ideas. What we're saying is that the way that the media presents them doesn't necessarily provide them in a balanced context. There is a process of manufacturing consent. We all know that our media lies. So when someone comes along with something that's different, instead of just hearing, oh, that couldn't happen, why don't we just at least listen to what they have to say and then go away and conduct some of our own research with an open and objective mind? Is that really too much to ask, Vinny?
Actually, it is too much to ask. So I've come up with a simple fix to this. It's a set of assumptions, two of them. Very, very simple. If you don't want to be taken for a ride and if you want to generally be pretty close to the truth without having to do all the research, okay? Number one, assume that if it comes from an official source, that it's probably the direct opposite of whatever they're telling you. Secondly, if you can't make it by yourself in your kitchen, then it's a soft kill by a weapon.
Oh, there's so much truth to that. And it really is. This is another point which I come sometimes look at. It's about the whole issue of semantics. You know, some people will turn around and they'll talk about Agenda 21 or there's a plot out there to go out and kill large portions of the Earth. Well, okay, without being that literal, when you look at what we do today in terms of what's in our food, what's in our soft drinks, what we breathe in, our entire process is actually quite suicidal. So whether you wanted to say it's deliberate or it's a product of our environment, doesn't really matter. It's not right and it needs fixing.
Yeah, okay, don't worry about why it's happening. That's what people do. They put their logic before their grammar. It's not why is this happening, first of all, and then who, what, when, where, why, and how. You got to do the who, what, when, where, and how before you ask why. What are the intentions? The intentions are something that you can work out after you've seen the effect of what's actually going on. Now, what's actually going on is a toxic, contaminated environment and scumbags in positions of power, a loss of liberty, and the accumulation of all the wealth, power, and technology into a very small clique that only have desire for even more power.
And again, this is about the semantics. Sometimes people turn around and they offer out words like the New World Order or the Illuminati. And I, for one, I must admit, I wince a wee bit. But then again, when you turn around and you look at, the issue of the fact that 1% of the world control 99% of resources, who cares what the name is? The reality is you've got a small group of people controlling a large chunk of the... That is, you're right, it's a fact. It's just having an argument about what language you're going to couch it in.
Exactly. We all know what language each other is speaking. It's the language of freedom, the language of exposing scumbaggery. And it is a wonderful dialect indeed, one that is sadly missing from our kitchen conversations, one that is sadly missing from the television, sadly missing from the radio.
And again, what I find quite interesting is that, in a civilized environment, as you sit down at the kitchen table, you might open up a couple of brewskis and people turn around and they put out different viewpoints and everyone, accepts and they listen to each other and they talk about it and they debate it and no one gets put their nose out of joint. Interesting enough, however, you can say this stuff on social media, and increasingly, even now, just in open public, and suddenly all the heckles come out, and it's not even about, it's just like, where's the manners, How about actually just giving each other a chance to actually hear what they have to say and then forming an opinion, not just talking over the top of each other saying, no, you're right, you're wrong, I'm right.
It's a reptilian brain response. The lower part of your motor cortex, your fight-or-flight response.
Yeah.
If you get something that makes you really, really angry, everybody's done this, I'm sure. Imagine a time where one time you said something really nasty that you wouldn't have said if you counted to 10 seconds and took a few breaths first. Brain response. That's what these people do. They're pituitary. They simply see a target and they start attacking it without even wondering what it is first and wondering how to respond to it without looking like a psychotic douchebag.
See, the way I always turn around and put it out is, in an ideal world, I always talk to people and say, look, I don't claim that gold pours from my mouth, but what I'd like you to do is hear my presentation on the argument based on my understanding of the research and my history as a researcher, and I think I've got a reasonably good track record. And what I'd like you to do is take that away and go away and talk to two or three other people who you know are going to give you an objective viewpoint, not just based on what they assume. Like, they'll actually, if you ask about a subject they know, they'll actually go and research it. And then from that, draw your conclusions. Unfortunately, I just don't think that sort of thought process actually is all that common.
Well, that's because common sense is not common. That's why I call it platinum sense, because it's one of the rarest elements you'll ever frickin' find if you're lucky. And it occurs to me that this has been brought on by public education. Where did the first public education get instituted? Well, in Prussia. Well, what was the result of this public education in Prussia? Well, they beat the French in the war, because as soon as they declared war on the French prior to the First World War, the Great War, they wound up having a shockingly large amount of ready recruits who knew the public pledge of allegiance and had pledged themselves to serve the government. And then all the rest of the world's governments started looking at this experiment of public education and figured, hey, this is a great idea. We can force people to get away from their parents a place where we can control the curriculum, tell them what to think, not have them have any options, and at the same time, they'll actually believe this tripe that we're feeding them and even line up to die for
as
us.
As the song goes, and we're going to wrap it up very shortly, this song goes what Winnie from Transition Vamp says, 20 years of day school to put you on the night shift. Vinnie, we literally have about 2 minutes to wind up, and we unfortunately... You have to do this quite precisely, but before we go, can you just quickly rant off your website?
It is the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question in Eastwood, as in go ahead, make my news. And if you search Vinnie Eastwood on YouTube or whatever, you will also find my channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media, or just search up Vinnie Eastwood pretty much anywhere. I've got a lot of presence on the web there.
You do indeed. And on that note, Vinnie, once again, thank you very much for coming on the Postman Show. And... we will see you next Wednesday at 8:30 when we will be talking to somebody interesting, I'm sure. And on that note, good night and good luck.
Out on your favourite Otago Access radio show? You can now catch up by listening to the podcast online. Listen to the shows you love anytime. Log on at www.oar.org.nz and click the podcast tab to find a full list of programs. Otago Access Radio 105.4 FM, streaming live and podcasting from www.oar.org.nz.